The Government Accountability Office continues to follow the progress of TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. GAO has issued more than 40 reports containing more than 60 recommendations for Treasury, and now the agency is looking at how those recommendations have been implemented. Joining us live is Tom McCool. He is the director of GAO Center for Economics. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Amy and Tom.
So the latest report, is this a summation? What exactly does this cover?
Well, this covers everything. we last did this sort of in October 2009, which was sort of the first year after the first year of TARP it was in operation. And we in the early stages of our reporting did sort of look at everything, and then we started to do just sort of looks at particular programs. But we decided it still is worthwhile to do one big overview report at least once a year.
And so the bottom line for TARP as it starts to, I guess, come out, as we start to come out of the other end of this tunnel, would you say that overall it has met its goals with a reasonably decent management?
Well, I think, again, it certainly met certain of its goals reasonably well. I mean, it's helped to restore financial stability and improve confidence in the financial markets. I think the place where it's probably having the most trouble is on the housing front. Its mortgage mitigation program has not been very successful, and its efforts to help small business are still haven't been very effective. Though they have a new program that they're trying to get up and running, which they hope will do better. This is not a TARP program, but this is outside of TARP.
Now, we've been following this along, checking in with you guys at GAO as you check in with what's going on with TARP. And often there are recommendations from GAO, staffing, management structure, oversight, and how to improve them. Have you found that progress has been made in those areas, and to what end?
Well, I think on the management front, on the staffing front, on the internal controls front, on the contract management front, we've noted a lot of progress. They've made major improvements. So we do have a new recommendation on the staffing front because we're concerned that as the organization does wind down, it may have trouble retaining people. And so we think that they need to come up with some scenarios about what happens if they lose certain people or certain numbers of people and how they're going to respond to that. But the areas where we've had more mixed bag is some of our recommendations having to do with particular programs. Again, some of the recommendations have been implemented, some have been partially implemented, and others are still works in progress.
Now, some of the really big visible programs, the signature programs, the capital purchase program, that is, the automotive industry financing program and AIG, those have paid the government back to varying degrees, your report says.
Right.
And so, just taking those three that are the ones that are the most visible, I think one of the findings you have is that we can't tell whether we're going to really get paid back as a nation because it depends on the stock price now and the initial public offering. So
right. How
would you rate those overall?
Well, in particular, in AIG's case and the AIFP, the auto industry programs, how much we get back is going to depend pretty much on the market price we can get for the shares of stock that we sell over time. And I think that's, again, just it's very uncertain. The IPO for GM, the price that the government got was probably not a bad price, but it wasn't enough to sort of if that price were carried over to all the shares, the government would have ended up losing some money. Not all the money that it invested, but some portion of it. On AIG, again, the government's going to count on what price the government can get for the AIG stock that it's going to be selling over the course of the next year and a half. So there's a lot of uncertainty about what the market's going to be willing to pay and what the pace of government sales might do to that price.
And so I wonder then if two administrations in a row maybe oversold TARP in terms of the government being able to recoup that investment.
Well, again, I think there's always been this question about oversold in what sense. I mean, from the beginning, the actual cost that was expected of TARP from both the Treasury's estimates and CBO's estimates was it was going to cost hundreds of billions. And now the estimates of loss, even conservative estimates of loss, are more like 25 to 50 billion. So compared with the original cost estimates, I think that's probably a substantial improvement. It still does add up to a loss, potentially. Though there's a chance that it won't be a loss. But it's going to take a lot of positive things happening on those stock prices.
In the research that you've done and all of the reports that have been done by GAO, have you found some trends, key economic indicators that we should also be looking out for in the future that will maybe give us some guidance too?
Well, I mean, our indicators have been primarily indicators of, again, confidence in the markets. And so we've looked at primarily at risk spreads in various markets, the interbank market, the mortgage market, the corporate bond market, and then also in some of the markets having to do with securitizations and mortgage-backed securities. And all of those indicators have improved to a large extent since TARP was initiated or since the programs under TARP that are relevant to those indicators have been initiated. These are indicators one can always look at. I think you have to be a little careful about what they tell you for the future. One could argue that the risk spreads were too narrow before the crisis, and that's one of the reasons we got into trouble. So getting risk spreads down is a good thing when they get too high, but getting them too low can also be an indicator of problems to come.
And we're speaking with Tom McCool, who is director of GAO's Center for Economics. Now, TARP is not over yet. There's still probably a couple years, really, till they can close that office. But what is GAO thinking that is worth looking at in terms of the future here? What can the government learn long-term from, I would say, something that's unprecedented?
Well, in terms of the future of TARP, I mean, we're going to be monitoring it as long as it's in place. What it's learned, I mean, this is almost another segment. We issued a report this past fall looking at some principles for providing federal assistance. We had provided a report back in the mid-'80s based on a lot of the experience we had with Chrysler and Lockheed and a few other bailouts. And so we issued a report in the middle 80s about principles of federal assistance. And so now we've updated that. And some of the lessons we've learned from the update are how important transparency and communication are. I think that was one of the major, I won't say failures, but it was a major weakness of the TARP program. The purpose wasn't communicated well. Or you could say they changed the purpose. It was one of the issues because they had sold it as a program that was going to purchase assets and ended up starting out by investing in financial institutions. It was less transparent than it could have been. Again, we think we helped make it more transparent with our recommendations. But I think transparency and good communication, in particular communication about what people can expect from these programs, would have helped a lot.
In addition to those recommendations, did you have some others with this latest report?
Well, the only new recommendation we have in the latest report, again, has to do with planning for staff retention or recruiting in an institution that's winding down, and the challenges of that and how we think the Treasury should do, again, some scenario, look at alternative scenarios so it can plan effectively going forward.
You know, I almost forgot that there was an earlier Chrysler bailout, and that's when Lee Iacocas sprang onto the scene.
That's right.
Do you think that maybe Dan Akerson should go on television and say, if you can find a better-built electric car, buy it?
That's up to them. But it is true that Lee Iacocas' version of communication was probably more effective than some of the more recent ones have been.